The Watchtower, Study Edition, February 2026. This article will be studied during the week of April 6th through 12th. How to Help Our Unbelieving Relatives. Theme text: Let us not give up in doing what is fine. Galatians 6:9. Song 82, Let Your Light Shine. Focus: How to maintain good relationships with unbelieving relatives and how to help them spiritually if possible.
Paragraphs 1 and 2 question: What may have affected our relationships with our relatives when we first learned the truth?
Jesus said to a man who wanted to become his follower, "Go home to your relatives and report to them all the things Jehovah has done for you." Mark 5:19. In saying that, Jesus acknowledged a natural human trait, the desire to share good news with our loved ones. Do you recall how you felt when you first learned the good news? You likely could not keep it to yourself. Your loved ones, however, may not have responded positively, or the way you presented the truth may have caused friction between you and them. If so, how can you maintain or restore good relationships with your relatives without compromising Christian standards?
Paragraph 3 question: What will we discuss in this article?
In this article, we will see 1. How compassion can motivate us to take a personal interest in our unbelieving relatives, even if they do not respond. 2. How to look beyond negative words and actions. 3. How our patient and hopeful attitude can help our relatives recognize the truth. And 4. How we can show them that we love them.
The footnote reads, "Expression explained. As used in the Bible, the terms unbeliever or unbelieving do not necessarily refer to a person who has no religious beliefs or who does not believe in God. As used in this article, such terms refer to a person who does not worship Jehovah God the way Jehovah's Witnesses do."
Let compassion motivate you to help them.
Paragraph 4 question: How did Jesus respond to those who were indifferent to his message?
Jesus did not quickly give up on those who were indifferent to his message. He compared himself to a worker in a vineyard who spared no effort in order to get an unproductive fig tree to bear fruit. When Jesus gave that illustration, he had been trying to cultivate faith among his fellow Jews for more than 3 years. Why did he keep trying to help them? Jesus had compassion for people, and that helped him to be patient with them.
Paragraph 5 question: What motivated Jesus to show compassion to his fellow Jews?
Jesus felt compassion for his fellow Jews because the religious leaders had failed to help them develop true faith in God. Jesus saw that the people were as sheep without a shepherd. Mark 6:34. Shortly before his death, Jesus even wept over Jerusalem because he knew that most of its inhabitants would lose their lives because of a lack of faith. When we develop similar warm feelings for our relatives, we will be motivated to help them.
Paragraph 6 question: Why should we be patient with our unbelieving relatives? Galatians 6:9 reads,
"So let us not give up in doing what is fine, for in due time we will reap, if we do not tire out."
Even if our relatives are not yet interested in our beliefs, we should be patient with them and not give up in doing what is fine. We know that it takes time for a person to overcome deep-seated prejudice and to build faith. At one time, were you like those who had no hope and were without God in the world? Ephesians 2:12. If so, no doubt someone came to your aid. Are you not also moved to help fill the spiritual needs of your family, if possible? Look beyond negative words and actions.
Paragraph 7 question: What may have prevented Jesus' half-brothers from putting faith in him?
Jesus' half-brothers likely heard about the miracles Jesus performed in Galilee. At first, though, they did not put faith in him. Why? The Bible does not say. But it reveals at least two things that held back some Jews from becoming Jesus' disciples. Some were afraid of being rejected by the community. Others had known Jesus from his youth and could not imagine him as God's representative. Jesus' half-brothers may also have been affected by this kind of thinking. Could similar factors affect our loved ones?
Paragraph 8 question. What may cause unbelieving relatives to speak or act unkindly?
Consider the motives behind their words and actions. Jesus' brothers may have been among the relatives who once said that he had gone out of his mind. Mark 3:21. Why might they have come to that conclusion? The context shows that Jesus was so much in demand that he did not even have time to eat a meal. Did his relatives think that he was being fanatical? It is possible. Our relatives may think that we take our religion far too seriously. If they feel that way, we do well to show by our actions how reasonable we truly are.
Paragraph 9 question. What might help our relatives to change how they feel about us?
Let your conduct speak for you. Our kind words and actions can move our relatives to change the way they feel about us.
1 Peter 3:1 and 2 reads,
"In the same way, you wives, be in subjection to your husbands, so that if any are not obedient to the word, they may be won without a word, through the conduct of their wives, because of having been eyewitnesses of your chaste conduct, together with deep respect."
An unbelieving husband could easily feel left out or upset when his wife attends congregation meetings or goes out in the ministry. Because she does not want him to feel that way, she might adjust her schedule of spiritual activities in order to spend more time with him. For example, she could share in the ministry when her husband is busy or not at home. By being flexible and reasonable, a Christian wife might help her husband to reconsider his opinion of the witnesses.
The picture collage for paragraph 9 shows a sister preparing lunch and coffee for her non-witness husband before he goes to work. Later, she participates in the ministry with another sister and shares the Bible truth on her phone with a woman at her door. The picture description reads, "Before engaging in the ministry, a sister kindly prepares a meal for her husband." The picture caption reads, "Our kind words and actions can change how an unbelieving mate feels about witnesses." Paragraph 10 question. When we are criticized, how can we imitate Jesus?
Do not feel pressured to respond to all criticism. When Jesus was falsely accused of eating and drinking too much, he did not become defensive. Instead, he encouraged people to look at the facts. He also showed by his example that he had a balanced view of life. Likewise, do not feel that you have to respond to every criticism. Rather, show your relatives through your actions that you are balanced and happy, and let them draw their own conclusions. They may be moved to reject false information that they have heard about us. Remain patient and hopeful.
Paragraph 11 question. How did Jesus deal with his unbelieving siblings?
The gospel accounts indicate that Jesus remained patient with his brothers. For example, they too were evidently in Cana when Jesus performed his first miracle. As mentioned earlier, Jesus' siblings did not put faith in him. However, Jesus did not cut ties with them. The Bible reveals that about 3 years after his first miracle in Cana, Jesus was speaking kindly to his brothers.
Paragraph 12 question. What can help us to remain hopeful that some of our relatives will have a change of heart?
Our clear understanding of Jehovah's mercy can help us to remain hopeful. When false religion comes to an end, our relatives may recall that we had told them about this event. They may even join us in pure worship after the Great Tribulation starts. And if our relatives are facing hard times now, we will certainly do all we can to be there for them. Perhaps they will be more receptive to Bible truths as they see that our love and kindness are genuine. Show them that you love them.
Paragraph 13, question. Though we are busy in Jehovah's service, what should we be careful about?
Even though we are busy serving Jehovah, we do not want to give our relatives the impression that we have no time for them or that we no longer love them. How can we show that we care about them? Consider a few ways.
Paragraphs 14 and 15, question. What is one way to show that we love our unbelieving relatives? Give an example.
Keep in touch and express your love for them. We show that we love our relatives by regularly letting them know how we are doing. For example, we could send them a text message along with a few pictures taken during a vacation, a trip, or a get-together with friends. A modest gift or a kind letter may be all that is needed to improve the relationship. By taking the initiative in such ways, we tell them that we love them. Consider the example of Anna, a sister in Armenia. Her family spends a lot of time together, especially during birthdays and holidays. When Anna accepted the truth, her relatives began to worry about how her new faith would affect their relationship. They were also worried about how her decision to become a witness would affect her future. How does Anna ease their concerns? "When I visit my relatives," she says, "I share information about my life and what has kept me busy. I also invite them to my place and introduce them to my friends. As a result, most of my relatives are well acquainted with those I am close with and feel comfortable with them." She adds, "Many of my relatives have commented on how happy I am, and they no longer worry about me."
Paragraph 16, question. How did Jesus show personal interest in his half-brother James?
Take an interest in their lives. After being resurrected, Jesus showed interest in his brother James by appearing to him personally. Can you imagine how James must have felt when he realized that Jesus had not given up on him? This reunion likely convinced James that Jesus was the Messiah. After that meeting, James may have helped other members of his family to come to the right conclusion about Jesus' identity.
The footnote reads, "At least two of Jesus' fleshly brothers, James and Jude, embraced the truth after Jesus' death and resurrection." Paragraph 17, question. How can we apply the principle found in Romans 12:15? Romans 12:15 reads,
"Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep." If we show interest in our loved ones when they need it most, both in good times and in bad times, we may help them to change their attitude toward us. For example, we could congratulate them on the birth of a child and give them a gift to show that we share in their happiness. When family members lose a loved one in death, we could speak consolingly to them, offer some practical help, or send them a comforting card. And, of course, we could check on them regularly, especially when they are facing hard times.
The picture for paragraph 17 shows the sister from the previous images taking a selfie with her unbelieving husband and her mother-in-law, who is sitting in a wheelchair. The picture description reads, "The same sister also takes the time to visit her mother-in-law, who is not a witness." The picture caption reads, "If you show interest in your loved ones when they need it most, they may change their attitude toward you and your faith." The following is supplementary information. Would you attend a wedding or a funeral? Weddings and funerals are occasions that usually bring families together. Before deciding to attend such a ceremony, you might consider the following Bible principles. Will the ceremony include a religious service, or will it be merely a secular event? If you were to attend, would you be able to resist the pressure to join in religious or unscriptural customs? Are your unbelieving relatives aware that you will not share in unscriptural practices? If you were to attend an event in a religious building, how might your decision affect fellow believers? Whatever you decide, always try to explain your position to your loved ones in a clear and tactful way. Above all, do your best to preserve a good conscience before God. Returning to the article. Paragraph 18, question: How can we imitate the disciple Andrew?
Introduce them to fellow believers. When the disciple Andrew identified Jesus as the Messiah, Andrew eagerly introduced his brother Peter to Jesus. Can we do something similar? For example, could we occasionally invite a relative to a meeting or to a meal with our friends? As we introduce him to fellow believers, he will see that witnesses are normal, decent people.
Paragraph 19, question: Even if our relatives do not fully understand some of our beliefs, how should we treat them? 1 Peter 3:15 reads,
But sanctify the Christ as Lord in your hearts, always ready to make a defense before everyone who demands of you a reason for the hope you have, but doing so with a mild temper and deep respect.
Our family members may not fully understand why we refuse to do certain things, but they will always remember our kind and respectful ways. They may also appreciate our effort to make up for the time we cannot spend with them on some occasions. For example, we cannot participate in unscriptural celebrations and customs, but we can visit them, have meals together, and give gifts at other times. Never give up on your relatives.
Paragraph 20, question: Why is James' example encouraging for us?
James missed the opportunity to accompany Jesus in his ministry, but he eventually became a disciple. Though not an early disciple, James obviously took to heart Jesus' teachings. For example, under inspiration, he wrote a letter that alludes to the Sermon on the Mount.
The footnote reads, Compare James 1:2 and Matthew 5:11 and 12, James 1:19 and Matthew 5:22. James 1:22 and chapter 2, verse 24, and Matthew 7:21, and James 2:13 and Matthew 5:7 and chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Paragraph 21, question: Why should we not give up on our unbelieving relatives?
Despite our best efforts, our unbelieving relatives may not show interest in the truth or respond favorably when we show personal interest in them. Why should we not give up on them? Because we will be imitating our merciful God Jehovah and His Son Jesus each time we show our relatives kindness. Over time, our loving conduct may move them to change how they feel about us. They may even remember the beliefs we shared with them in the past. If we do not give up on them, we may have the joy of seeing some of our dear relatives join us in true worship. How would you answer? How can compassion motivate us to help our unbelieving relatives? Why do we need to remain patient and hopeful with our unbelieving relatives? How can we show our unbelieving relatives that we love them? Song 60. It means their life. End of article.